Chapter 19. Idolica, Alcazar Astra. The company chapel was empty. That was the way Maximus Thane preferred it. His Fist's exemplar, from his captains and masters to his battle brothers and their chapter serfs, were all too busy with preparations for dusk. Thane's desperate strategy had saved many Space Marine lives, but had cost the Alcazar Astra dearly. Splits and rents in the thick plate of the void ramparts were only the beginning. The star fort had suffered serious structural damage, and the generatorium had also experienced damage-inflicted failings. As ranking Adeptus Astartes aboard the star fort, however, it wasn't Thane's job to repair ceramite, replenish ammunition, or audit the armory. It wasn't even his direct responsibility now to ensure that others performed those essential roles. He had given Sergeant Hawk temporary command of the second company. It was Thane's function to decide which strategy would best ensure the survival of Idolica. Which strategy would inflict greatest damage on the invader? Which strategy, if any, could possibly combine both? Even the second company's chapel hadn't escaped the damage and desolation. Without the artificial gravity and inertial dampeners that the star fort would have benefited from in the void, the chapel, like every other hallowed chamber in the fortress monastery, had been turned almost on its side. Minor chapter relics lay smashed on the floor about their cases. Statues had toppled and tapestries had fallen across the altar. Placing his helmet to one side, Thane cleared up as best he could. Thane's favourite artifact, one of the reasons he frequented the tiny chapel as much as he did, had also been damaged. Set in a shallow central column between the altar and the narrow entrance archway was a small stained glass window. It depicted Rogel Dorn, not in battle or during the desperation of the Great Heresy, but at deliberation. The window pictured Dorn deep in thought, still clad in his golden armour. It was the moment Dorn decided to break up his beloved legion and embrace the Codex Astartes, creating numerous successor chapters from his stalwart and loyal Imperial Fists. Thane loved the window, not least because the Fist's exemplar had been created in that moment. Like all of the Imperial Fists' second founding chapters, their character came from the individuals making up their ranks. The chapter crusaders and zealots gravitated to Sigismund, while to Alexis Pollux went the younger, more impressionable brothers. Many of the attrition fighters that would make up the Excoriators had held the palace walls during the Siege of Terror and had found brotherhood with Demetrius Catafalque. It was well known that the Primarch and his genetic sons struggled with a decision to break up their legion. There were some, however, that came round to Gilliman's wisdom, as Dorn himself did at last, swifter than others. Captain Oriax Dantalion had spoken for the sense and necessity of such drastic action among the Imperial Fists early in the process. This had initially earned Dorn's disappointment, and some said enmity. When Dorn himself searched his soul and reached the conclusion that the window illustrated, he remembered Dantalion's earlier wisdom. He rewarded the captain with a chapter of his own, made up of progressive battle brothers not unlike himself. They were deemed exemplars of the new order and named the Fist's Exemplar by the Primarch. Looking at the window, Thane discovered that some of the fragile glass pieces had fallen free of their leadwork. Dorn's depiction was now marred with hollows and missing sections. Many of the pieces had smashed on the flags of the small chapel during the firing of the engine column. Thane discovered, however, that one piece had survived intact. A section of yellow glass representing a piece of the Primarch's sacred golden plate. Picking it up and turning it about in the tips of his gauntlets, Thane slipped it delicately back into place. As the archway door rose beyond, light from the corridor lamps blazed through the window. The illuminated window, bringing Rogel Dorn's depiction to dazzling radiance, held Maximus Thane's attention, so much so that he hardly noticed Brother Zerberin enter the company chapel. "My lord," Zerberin said, taking to his knee before the altar and kissing the ceramite knuckles of his gauntleted fist one after another. "Brother?" "My lord," Zerberin said, getting up. "Sentries report a strange disturbance at the East Barbican Lock."
"What kind of disturbance?"
Impacts on the outer doors, Zerbrin said, like something is trying to get in. No greenskin survives the attentions of Frankenthal's star, Thane averred. The alien invader is much invested in terrible new technologies, the honorarius said. Thane nodded. Have Sergeant Hawk meet me at the Barbican with a squad, Thane said. Then lock off the section interior bulkhead surrounding the Barbican. If it is the invader, we'll see to it that he won't get far. Very good, my lord, Zerbrin said, and left Maximus Thane alone with Dorn once again. Taking up his helmet and setting off for the east transept, the captain encountered Sergeant Hawk en route past the company chapel. He marched with Hawk and his squad down to the Barbican lock. Opinion, brother? Thane put to Gaspar, the sentry whose post the Barbican had been.
Sounded too measured and deliberate for the greenskin, sir, Gaspar said,
but his bolt gun was still aimed at the Barbican portal. Thane waited. Behind them, the section bulkhead hatches began to lower. Then they heard it. The sound of something smashing a great fist against the thick metal door. It didn't sound like a rabid savage or alien invader. Sergeant, Thane said, prompting Hawk and his men to form a gauntlet of gaping barrels in the Barbican chamber. If their visitor was indeed hostile, Hawk and his men would ensure that its welcome would be brief. Thane put on his battle helm. Brother Gaspar, if you will. The sentry fired the airlock mechanism, and the massive door began to rumble towards the ceiling. Blinding Eidolican daylight seared its way under the door and began to fill the Barbican, prompting the auto-senses of the captain's plate to respond and initiate optical filters. As the portal shuddered open and the fist's exemplar leant into their bolt guns, a single silhouette appeared at the door. A black shape in a power-armored suit waited for them. As the bolt gun barrels lowered, the Adeptus Astartes, framed in the blinding light of the doorway, stepped inside. He was swiftly joined by several other battle brothers in sealed plate.
Lower it, Thane commanded Brother Gaspar.
As the armored door lowered and the Barbican turned to darkness, the filter optics of Thane's helmet returned to normal spectra. Not fast enough for the captain, however, who promptly removed his helmet. Before him stood a crusade marshal in the roasted midnight plate of the Black Templars. A skull-helmed chaplain stood to his side, while two sword brethren flanked the pair with their power swords and crusader shields. The final member of the group was a Fist's exemplar captain, clad in the temperature-tarnished bare ceramite of the chapter. As the captain took off his helm, Thane could see that it was Dentor of the Seventh.
It's a relief to see you, Captain, Thane told him.
Likewise, Maximus, Dentor replied.
As the Black Templar's commander relieved himself of his burning helm, Dentor introduced him.
Captain Thane, this is Marshal Beaumont of the Vulpius Crusade.
An honour, brother captain,
Beaumont offered.
Likewise, Marshal, Thane said, and a surprise. We sent out broad-range requests for fraternal assistance, but did not think you so close. You are, of course, warmly welcome to Alcazar Astra, and a share of the honour to come. How many battle brothers do you have at your command, Marshal?
Beaumont's eyes were hard but understanding. He seemed to nod to himself.
Second captain, Dentor said. The Marshal does not...
Thank you, Captain, Beaumont said, cutting him off. You are ranking Adeptus Astartes here?
I am.
I wonder if we might speak alone, sir.
The Black Templar's eyes never left his Fist's exemplar opposite.
Of course, Marshal, Thane said. I know just the place.
With the Barbican resecured and Beaumont's men entertained, Thane led the Black Templar Marshal into the company chapel. It was closer than the auditorium, and with the daylight hours filled with repair and industry, still deserted. Beaumont fixed upon the stained glass representation of Dorn immediately. Falling down to his knees, he hammered his armoured fist into his breastplate at the four points of the Crusader Cross.
Beautiful,
Beaumont said as he got back up.
Marshal, Maximus Thane said, staring across the altar, I do not wish to break with ritual or tradition, but my world turns. With night comes the enemy and an opportunity to avenge our fallen.
I've seen your world, Beaumont said, and the Xenos attack moon hanging over it. Your black sands swarm with orcs. They travel with the Terminator. In their cunning, they have become wise to your planet's lethalities. Tomorrow, the enemy takes this fortress. From orbit it is plain to see.
It is not as simple as that.
Captain, it is every bit as simple as that,
Beaumont told him. I expected more from Sigismund's crusaders, Thane told him. It does not become a Templar to turn his cheek from the fight. You speak of odds. What are odds to a son of Dawn?
It smarts, doesn't it, Captain?
The Black Templar said, as he wondered about the chapel.
I should know. You're right. It does not become us. But our cheek is not turned. We are simply facing the other way. We are crusaders, and crusades are not won on single days or single worlds, and that is all idolatry is, a single world with a single day.
You speak cavalierly about our prospects, Marshal, Thane said. Why don't you help us improve them?
I already have, Beaumont replied. My Thunderhawks pulled Captain Dentor and what was left of his company from the greenskin-drenched wilderness. You had no right, Templar, Thane spat. They would be dead now if I hadn't.
And what of the populations they were protecting? What is to become of them?
Nothing, Captain, Beaumont said, for they are dead already.
I need your men, Beaumont.
You can't have them, the Marshal said, for they are needed elsewhere, as are yours, Captain.
Marshal,
I have seen where you are now, the Black Templar told him. It is not easy for an Adeptus Astartes to turn and run, but as my Castellan told me, it is merely a matter of perspective. There is running from, and there is running to. We were at Hesperia, and yes, I could have sent my Templars to their deaths in the name of obstinacy and honour, but then I heard the call, as you hear now, Dawn's call. I hear it in Imperial Navy recalls, in my battle barges' klaxons, in Mortis cries echoing across the Immaterium. The call home, brother. Corward.
You are a crusader, Thane accused. You call no world home. Idolica is home to the Fist's exemplar.
Beaumont smashed his fist against the plate of his chest.
No, the Marshal hissed. This is your home. You say your Idolica needs you? I say your Imperium needs you. Do you have any idea how many astropathic calls for assistance I had to ignore to reach you, brother? Worlds die about us and sectors fall. This is not localized. The invader has not a conqueror's eyes for your piecemeal world, Captain. Idolica is an afterthought. The enemy's bloody gaze is fixed on the segmentum hole. What good can you do here?
This is my world! Maximus Thane roared through the window at the Marshal. These are my people. This is my bastion.
Your people are finished, Beaumont told him.
He let the cold sentiment hang in the descending silence of the chapel.
Through no fault of your own or your commander's, your world belongs to savages of the void. This was never a battle you could win. How long can you keep this up, fighting through the night and hiding in the light? How long will your armory sustain you? A day? A week? And should you slaughter every living greenskin on the surface of your desert world, what then? The Xenos attack moon will tear this tiny planet apart and feed it to its guardian star.
What would you have me do?
I would have you do nothing, Captain. What we must do, brothers all, is gather our strength. The savages will be stopped here no more than they would have been at Hesperia.
We must consult with Chapter Master Mirren, with my own High Marshal, with Shan, with Quesadra of the Crimson Fists, and Issachar of the Excoriators.
It is time for the scattered successors of all loyal legions to join once again in defense of humanity. This will not happen here, Thane. It will not happen now. But we must be as one, and ready for Dawn's call, when it comes.
Maximus Thane hadn't been looking at Beaumont for a while. His eyes were fixed on his Primarch, picked out in coloured glass. Neither battle brother spoke for what seemed like a long time.
Look, Thane, Beaumont said. I speak like a brother of wisdom. When I learned this just like you in the fires of battle, I found this decision no less difficult or painful.
Your vessels wait ready in orbit? The Fist Exemplar asked.
Yes, the Marshal replied. They hold position in the sunblind. My gunships could have your brothers and material evacuated within the hour.
Thane didn't need to check with a chronometer. Night was coming. He could feel the seconds ebbing away. Well,
An hour is about all we have, he said. Beaumont nodded his understanding. The Fist's exemplar captain and the marshal went to leave the chapel. At the archway bulkhead, Thane turned to take one last look at the stained glass window. You think that it hurt Dorn to break his legion thus? Thane asked, his voice echoing about the company chapel.
More than the most grievous of wounds received in battle, Beaumont said gently. But sometimes you have to destroy something old in order to make something new. The Fist's exemplar know that better than any of Dorn's sons.
Maximus Thane nodded slowly in grave agreement.